Here we will explore the true facts about Gene Hensler, Ph.D. Early on, Gene Hensler's parents knew he was destined to work in the field of finance. When, on his first birthday, his mother asked how he wanted to spend the money he received as gifts, Gene Hensler turned to her and said, "I don't want a bicycle until I'm 12. Just take the money and invest it." And so, it was at the tender age of 1 when Gene Hensler scribed a major tenet of his now famous 10-year rule.
That is funny.
Is that a true story, Dr. G? Yeah,
absolutely. There's no question about it. My parents and I didn't have the foggiest idea what I was going to be when I was going to grow up when I was 18. You know, the truth is scary. That's why I tell students, I have to give advice. Sometimes young people are stupid enough to ask me for advice. I say, make sure you get a degree. I don't care what it's in. Then by the time you get to be a senior, you'll probably figure out what you really want to do.
Right. Just build your skills while you don't know what you want to do.
Get a job, go to graduate school, and determine that.
That's right.
All right, Ben, is there a question here?
Yeah, let's take this one right here. This is about trust as beneficiary. This is Robert from Kennesaw. I've heard both for and against answers for naming a trust as a beneficiary for my IRA. What can you tell me? Well, Charlie, this is something we kind of run across from time to time. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, estate planning. We're talking about estate planning matters.
Well, right.
Typically, IRA beneficiary, you specify beneficiary.
You usually think
of
you leave it to your wife.
Right.
Right.
What you usually think, don't you? Or you leave it to your husband?
The typical would be you're going to leave it to your spouse as a beneficiary. So when you pass away, your spouse takes it, treats it as their own. That's a typical spousal beneficiary. Or if there's a non-spousal, let's say if your spouse has passed away and your children are beneficiaries, they'd be a non-spousal beneficiary, or if some other relative. There's different rules with those individuals. They can't treat it as their own. They have to start taking annual distributions the year after they inherit it.
At that point, that's an inherited
IRA. Is that IRA – let me ask you this because that's a good question. My IRA, for example, is that part of my estate?
Yes, it is
part of my estate, and my estate will be taxed on that.
Right, yes, but that part doesn't get probated. It has a beneficiary designated that it just goes directly to that individual.
All right, so it doesn't stay in my estate and doesn't get taxed. Okay, I got you.
Your assets of your estate is different than your probate estate.
It doesn't
pass
by what your will says. It passes by what the form.
So why would I want to use a trust?
Well, there's certain advantages. You know, a trust, if you specify a trust that has a clearly defined beneficiary, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, once you have this inherited IRA or a trust as a beneficiary with an underlying named beneficiary, you have to distribute that over the life of that person. You have to start the required minimum distributions.
Right.
Okay. So you're not escaping that required minimum distribution aspect when you name a trust as the beneficiary, correct, Charlie?
Right. It'll typically look through the trust, the IRS code will, to the beneficiary.
So let's say, just for example, that I would leave it rather than to my wife. This isn't a good example. She's only about 10 years older than my kid. But let's just say, for example, that I had two kids who were 20 and my wife was 50. And she really didn't need the money.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I would probably want to leave it to the kids because they only have to take out a little bit of a time, don't they? Because they're 20 years old, quote, so they got a life expectancy of 70 or something like that. So they can let it grow and grow and grow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if I leave it to my wife, she's going to have to take out more
over her life
she's older.
Expectancy. Right.
However, when she passes on, it could go to your children. The way to stretch it the furthest is typically to go to your spouse, then to your children. That's where you can conceivably stretch the assets in it out for, say, 100 years.
Yeah, okay.
If no one ever goes in and just pulls it all out.
Okay, so let's bring in why you would want the trust.
Yeah, why do we want the trust?
Right, so think about it this way. It's sort of like a simple scale. If you've got on one side of the scale, you've got tax benefits, and the other side you've got control. Typically, the more control you want after you've passed away in these scenarios, the fewer tax benefits you're going to receive. And if you don't care about control, you can get the most tax benefits.
Right.
So what happens is if you designate it to a trust If there's just one beneficiary, that can be fine. The IRS can look through that trust, can distribute it on the same distribution table as the individual would use if they had had it. Problem is if you leave it to a trust that has multiple beneficiaries, it'll use the older beneficiary's age. So there's a big difference there. Let's say you left it to, you know, a 40-year-old and a 20-year-old. Well, the 20-year-old cannot defer. They're going to have to take it out over the same schedule as the 40-year-old.
I got you. Right. Okay.
So that's one downside.
But one of the big advantages is this trust. You know, let's say it was left to a child and then that child became 18. Well, while there's still required minimum distributions, that doesn't prevent the child from going and wiping out the account once they're of age.
Right, right. So you can protect against
whereas
that.
Whereas a trust is introduced into the
equation. That's where you're talking about the control aspect.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
It's just like what you can do, rather than leave money to your spendthrift 30-year-old son or daughter, you can simply say, I'll leave it in trust for them, and they only get X number of dollars a year, and when they turn 45, we'll give them a little bit of money, and they turn 60.
Right.
So you can accomplish the same thing in a trust for an IRA. So although the money's going to be distributed, they can't touch the principal.
Right. Or if you just don't want any money distributed, you have to for IRS purposes, but you can then distribute the proceeds into another trust that never gets to the individual. I mean, if we're talking about a beneficiary that just would blow it.
Complicated.
So, but the problem with that is then you get into trust tax rates, which are not very good.
Yeah, you can retain the income at the trust level.
So I'm getting the idea here is if you want to exercise control, you use a trust. If you want to maximize the tax benefits, you wouldn't use a trust.
Well, you just have to be careful what type of trust and situation it is. Now, one other wrinkle that we see oftentimes where it's very beneficial to use a trust is in the case of, you know, a child that may have special needs and could qualify for some government aid.
I got
when
you.
Assets
yes.
come into their name, that could disqualify them from certain aid programs, whereas if you use a special needs trust, which there are special attorneys that set these up.
If you have a Down syndrome child, somebody who was mentally retarded.
Right.
If the money was left directly to them, they might have a problem qualifying for
we see this a lot with grandparents that want to set up a piece of their retirement plan to care for a grandchild with special needs.
Well, that's really important. That's a great thought.
But you've got to make sure you utilize an attorney who is an expert in that area and can draft it properly
that a trust is useful rather than a way to make money for attorneys.
Right.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.